Well, good morning, Colony Park MB Church. Today is Sunday morning, March 15th, and worship is being suspended for the day until we get more information, and so please do continue to tune in for your weekly sermon. Your health and well-being is always of the utmost importance to us, and so we continue to pay close attention to the current status of the COVID-19 virus and receive daily updates from the Provincial Health Officer and the BC Centre for Disease Control. We will continue to monitor the situation daily. By not gathering at this point in time, we are caring for our church family and serving our community, including those who are most susceptible and vulnerable to this disease. And so we want to wish the Lord's best to be with you. This week's sermon is based on John 10, verses 1 to 10, I am the gate. We're currently in the middle of a series, The Living God, I Am, exploring who this Jesus of Nazareth is. This week we'll be looking at Jesus' declaration of being the door, or the gate, and what that actually means. My name is David Chow, I'm the pastor of Colony Park MB Church. Thank you for tuning in. And we continue to hope and pray that you are able to share the Lord's best with your neighbors. And as we continue to proclaim Jesus to our neighborhood, we want to love our neighbors the way that we love ourselves. The questions that dominate the Gospel of John are, is Jesus from God or not? Is he a prophet or not? Is he the Messiah, the Anointed One, or not? Is Jesus the Son of Man, whom God will set as judge over the world? Now, here in today's portion of Scripture, we have a parable about shepherds and sheep. What's the connection? So at this time, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to today's passage, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. In the Bible, the picture of the shepherd with his sheep is frequently used to refer to the king and his people. In today's world, we don't think of leaders in the same way. These days, we're thinking more of health authorities and chief medical officers. Oftentimes, when we think of people who run large multinational companies, we think of presidents or of corporations. We might even think of politicians. We think of people sitting behind desks, dictating letters or chairing meetings, and more often than not, these people are removed from most of the others who work in the organization. They rarely see their fellow workers face to face and probably don't even know the names of more than a handful of other employees. But in the Bible, the ideal king is pictured as a shepherd. So let's take a quick look at Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16. The sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered. I will tend them in a good pasture. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And that's from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16. This was perhaps best modeled by the shepherd boy David, who became the king of Israel after God's own heart. In a world where they knew about the intimate contact and trust between shepherd and sheep, this was their preferred way of talking about kingship. So let's explore that for a moment. Remember, we're in the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Now, sheep are regarded more than as meat in much of the world. And so, of course, in those areas of the world where they are indeed a meat source, if they are raised as a meat source, they are usually consumed as young animals. However, in Palestine, sheep were, and currently are, raised primarily for their wool, which means that the sheep are often with the shepherd for years, and oftentimes the sheep would have names by which the shepherd would call them. In Palestine, the shepherd went in front and the sheep followed. Take a look with me at verse 4. The shepherd went first to see that the path was safe, and sometimes the sheep had to be encouraged to follow. Now, a shepherd's equipment was very simple in those days. A shepherd had his scrip, or a bag made of the skin of an animal in which he carried his food. It was kind of like his lunch pail, really. He'd put his food, his bread, his dried fruit, some olives, perhaps some cheese, and he also had a sling. The shepherd could use the sling as a very accurate weapon of offense or defense, but there was one unique use for it in particular. Because there were no sheep dogs in Palestine, when the shepherd wished to call back a sheep which was straying away, he would put a stone into the sling and landed it just in front of the straying sheep's nose as a warning to turn back. Interesting, huh? Not so sure that that would be an effective urban tool these days. But really, those shepherds had incredible aim. Now, the shepherd also carried with him a staff, or a short wooden club in which it had a lump of wood at the end, often studded with nails or something like that. It usually had a slit in the handle at the top, through which a thong was placed so it could be hung from the shepherd's belt. Now, the staff was a weapon with which the shepherd would defend both himself and his flock against the marauding animals, or robbers. He also had a rod, which was like a shepherd's crook, and with his rod he could catch or pull back any sheep which was moving to stray away. We're going to go and take a quick look at Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37. It says, "I will take note of you as you pass under my rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." Now, at the end of the day, when the sheep were going into the fold, the shepherd held his rod across the entrance, quite close to the ground, and every sheep had to pass under it. And as each sheep passed under, the shepherd quickly examined it to see if it had received any kind of injury during the day. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 32 says this, "Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord." Now, this is the image that Jesus chooses to explain his own claim as the true King of Israel in John 10. It's not an image of a strong military leader or eloquent politician. It's actually the image of a shepherd. Jesus declares the true King of Israel will be a shepherd, not a revolutionary leader, and he takes pains to highlight the differences between true shepherds and false ones. Now, let's just take a quick look at verse 1 of chapter 10 in John. Just who are these false shepherds? John 10 characterizes these false shepherds as thieves and robbers and strangers. Now, I'm sure Jesus was thinking about the different leaders who had emerged during his own lifetime. Sure, some were revolutionary leaders, some may have been local warlords eager to lead Israel into confrontation with the imperial powers of Rome. Others, particularly of the house of Herod, were eager to submit to Rome as long as that meant keeping their own power and wealth. In this context, Jesus asks, how will we be able to tell God's true appointed king from the others when he comes? Jesus tells the people that you can tell who is the true king the same way you can tell who the true shepherd is. The reality is, anyone can turn up and call himself a leader. Anyone can call for followers. But the sign of the real king is the response that comes from the heart when people hear his voice and, in love and trust, follow him and worship him, just like the blind man who was healed in John chapter 9. In the first five verses of today's passage, Jesus is basically saying, "This is what I'm doing. This is what gives substance to my claim to be sent by God as Israel's true king. The fact that people are hearing me and following me, especially those needing healing, is the sign that God has sent me," in verses 4 and 5. The sheep follow the shepherd because they know the shepherd's voice. Now take a look with me at verse 6. The Pharisees just don't get it. Jesus' passion is met by blank stares and silence. Can you hear the crickets chirping in the background? So then Jesus continues with further explanations and illustrations. Let's go to verses 7 to 10. Now you might need to imagine, if we're in Vancouver here, we're taking an eagle eye view of Vancouver, maybe even over Stanley Park and downtown into the suburbs. Some of us come from Asian cultures and heritage, and although Vancouver is known as a gateway to Asia from Canada's point of view, it is also known as a gateway to freedom and opportunity for those on the outside looking in. Now, some of the things that draw people to this land of opportunity is the sheer beauty of the place. The ocean, the nature, the mountain ranges. Even Vancouver's Lionsgate Bridge invites us to enjoy the wild peaks north of the city. In order to get there, you have to cross a threshold, Burrard Inlet. The Lionsgate is what makes it possible to go from one side to another. And that's what gates do. That's the job of a gate. Take a look with me at verse 7, because the Pharisees just don't get what Jesus is telling them. Jesus highlights another part of who shepherds are, and consequently, who he is. Jesus says, "I am the door, I am the gate." And when we hear that, we might picture in our minds Western doors and gates. However, when Jesus talks about being a door or a gate, he might have this in mind. Now, you might want to picture a stone sheepfold. In town, sheep were kept in communal sheepfolds where all the village flocks were sheltered when they returned home at night. The typical sheepfold was a stone enclosure, square in shape, with a single entrance guarded by the gatekeeper. Since more than one flock was often kept in a single sheepfold, a shepherd would call his sheep by name, and recognizing his voice, the sheep would follow him to pasture. These folds were protected by a strong door which only the gatekeeper held the key. Now this was the sheepfold that Jesus was referring to in verses 2 to 3. But when the sheep were out on the hills in the warm season and didn't return at night to the village, they were collected into sheepfolds on the hillside. They sometimes looked like caves, and they had little pastures, and these hillside sheepfolds were just open spaces enclosed by a wall, sometimes natural, sometimes man-made. And in them, there was an opening by which the sheep came in and went out, but there was no door, really, of any kind. What happened was that at night, the shepherd himself would lie down across the doorway to stop the sheep from getting out and to stop predators from getting in. In the most literal sense, the shepherd was the door. What Jesus was saying was that he is not only the shepherd, but he is also the door for the sheep. In other words, Jesus is the way to salvation from thieves or robbers and strangers. Jesus is saying that he is the one who will protect the sheep from outside threats. A thief would typically climb over the wall, kill the sheep, then throw them over and escape. And Jesus says he is there to protect the sheep. Psalm 121 verse 8 says, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." And like God himself in Psalm 121, verse 8, Jesus, too, will watch over their going out and coming in. The emphasis is on the safety and the fulfilled life of the sheep. The shepherd's priorities are the welfare and the well-being of the sheep. And as we discover what God is like through Jesus Christ, a new sense of safety and security will enter our lives. If our lives are in the hands of a shepherd, of a God like that, there is comfort in bringing our worries and fears to him. There's a comfort in bringing all of who we are to him. And so during this time of pandemic, during this time of COVID-19 fear and crisis, especially as we see many throngs of people going to Costco and other stores and emptying the shelves of many sanitary supplies, oftentimes toilet paper or handy wipes or even hand sanitizer, we need not be overwhelmed with fear. There is a good shepherd. We do need to take practical, real steps in making sure that we are safe and that we keep our neighbors safe and especially our vulnerable among us safe. But we need not panic. We need not fear. We'll talk about a little bit more about this in a moment. Now, Jesus doesn't stop there by being just a caring shepherd. Take a look at verse 10. Jesus just doesn't say he will protect us from thieves, but he promises the full life, full to overflowing, not just life, living, eating, doing our business, but full to overflowing life. This is as relevant for us today as it was back then in the first century. I think our Western world and culture has discovered just how unsatisfying and really how pointless collecting stuff, hoarding stuff really is. Maybe it's toilet paper these days, maybe it's hand sanitizer or baby wipes. And you know what, we're really looking for something more, something beyond wealth and toys and earthly things. There are those of us who would lead us away from the promise of a full and abundant life that is offered by Jesus. There are those who would steal and kill and destroy or hoard and profit. And there are those who would rob us of the abundant life. Many thieves have told lies and have deceived the sheep. They've stolen them and left them for dead. But there is another, one who is the good shepherd, who knows us by name and whose voice his sheep know. There are thieves and bandits, to be sure. There are also the good shepherd who offers us his own abundant life, and his name is Jesus. Fresh air, freedom, the beauty of nature, wealth, and materialism, good employment, deep relationships, even health. These are all indeed good things. But these are not what God promises us. These things ultimately do not fulfill our deepest needs. Jesus promises that he, like a loving shepherd, will be with us along the way. He will guide us through thick and thin. He will be with us in sickness and in health, for richer or poorer. Friends, the call today, as it has always been, for all who follow Jesus, is to listen for his voice, and to find in him and him alone the life, capital L, which is overflowing life indeed. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, Jesus is saying to us ultimately, find a king like that, and you've found the Lord's anointed one, the Messiah, the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us the way a shepherd loves his sheep. We thank you for knowing us by name and caring about everything about us. Lord, you know about this pandemic, but you also know that you've called us to be witnesses to your grace and your power. So help us not to respond in fear, but with wisdom. Help us to be innocent like doves, but wise as snakes. Help us to help our neighbors. Help us not only to give praise and worship to you, but help us to love our neighbors the way that we love ourselves. So God, during this time, help us to extend ourselves to those who are in need, especially those around us, especially as we're taking practical steps to protect our communities. Help us to be helpmates for our neighbors, especially the elderly and the vulnerable. Help us to be people of faith, but also people of action. Help us to be people who are willing to go the extra mile. It might be to pick up groceries or prescriptions. It might be to just help another neighbor across the way, especially if they're sick, to provide chicken soup or comfort. So God, help us, even though we're supposed to socially isolate ourselves, help us not to completely isolate one another from community. Help us to share your love in practical ways, being your hands and feet during this time of fear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So friends, stay tuned. Keep your eyes on our website. We're going to keep updates coming as we keep an ear and a pulse on what is happening in the world around us. For now, though, we hope to see you soon, and God's best to you. In Jesus' name, amen.